Talk Radio Network and the first
Love Talk Radio.
With Gina Libido, Ascension, a humble awakening of the heart.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. President Biden is signing into law the PACT Act for veterans who suffered toxic exposure to burn pits.
Because these conditions have already taken such a toll on so many veterans and their families, I've directed the Department of Veterans Affairs to treat all 23 presumptive conditions.
It'll expand access to health care and disability benefits for service members and provide a $2,000 monthly stipend for families of those who died from toxic exposure. Today's inflation numbers are a mixed bag. The Consumer Price Index for July was unchanged after a jump of 1.3% in June. Today's flat number was helped by a more than 4.5% drop in volatile energy prices. Meanwhile, food prices rose another 1.1% and electricity prices jumped 1.6%. Americans aren't as optimistic about the state of the coronavirus pandemic as they were just a few months ago. That's according to a new Gallup poll, which revealed 41% of adults believe the situation is getting better. That number stood at 63% in the spring. Lisa Taylor, NBC News Radio.
Doug. Chances are you're jamming in your car right now. And since Liberty Mutual customizes car insurance, so you only pay for what you need, Limu and I are going to show you some safe car dance moves. Hit it. Everybody, check your blind spots real quick. Now hands on the wheel. Put them 10 in two and move your head like a bird do. Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
And let's go ahead and take a look now at your alternative top weather outlook for Wednesday. Well, we'll see a chance of light rain showers this morning along with some thunderstorms. But don't worry, they'll burn off this afternoon for mostly sunny skies and high temperatures hovering around 74, 75 degrees. Tonight, mostly clear skies, low temperatures back down to about 59, 60. For Thursday and for Friday, more sunshine expected. High temperatures up a few more degrees in the high 70s to low 80s in selected areas with clear skies through the overnight, low temperatures in the upper 50s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Tune in to the Life Strategy Show with your life strategy mentor, Lolita Smith, and say yes to bringing prosperity and success to your future right here and right now. Life is a picture of your mind, and Lolita is here to help you imagine it. Say goodbye to the strings of the past that have been holding you back for far too long. Rise up with Lolita and say yes to the solutions, prosperity, and unlimited possibility. Visit LifeStrategyMentor.com. That's LifeStrategyMentor.com.
Boy, does this feel like good times today. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. I love it. This is a show that's going to invite all of you to open up your hearts, because it's about dreams coming true. There's a road we get to take as we craft out and we lay a course that's in service of so many others. Sometimes the universe, God, whatever you believe in, have you ever wondered why, but better than why or how, the universe knows how to line things up in a way that gets you ready for the most expansive part of who you're going to become? This is the time to change. And gratitude, leading with love, opens up more expansive possibilities than you can imagine. Crust busting your way to an awesome life. I want to thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Are you ready to get big and live your life out loud? Tune in to Get Big Out Loud Radio, exploring life through the lens of curiosity and compassion. With me, Carrie Knudsen, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will offer ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. If you want to get big and live your life out loud, visit me at KnudsenSpeaks.com.
Welcome, everybody, to Soul-Inspired Reflection, Ascension, a Humble Awakening of the Heart, with me, your host, Gina Libido. The soul can take on many expressions that bring you into harmony and resonance with your higher self. Feel an aura of love that will envelope you and infuse your being. You'll find that even the chaos of your world makes sense and has meaning and purpose. Your dreams are so powerful, and as you become more sensitive to them, you can learn how to identify new energy and how they are communicating with you in body, in power, in soul. activate the spirit within you in this conversation of power, faith, grace, love, and forgiveness. Make a choice, be inspired, and take action. Soul-inspired reflection starts now.
Oh my gosh, I am so excited about this show today with, okay, the host of the show. Are you ready for this? This is, I don't even know where to start, but I'm going to start here. For those of you, I'm Dr. Pat, and you're here with Gina Libido, and we're talking about, for her show is Soul Inspired Reflections with Gina, Ascension, a Humble Awakening of the Heart. But we're talking about today, importance of connection to Gaia and the relationship with your earthly embodiment and physical body. Now, for somebody like me, and I know like her, right? Not so much for Linda. This is a show Linda would be like, yes, yes, they're going to talk about it. There's our letter. There's our letter. Okay. But for me, what I want to remind everybody of as we get rolling here is you have to understand the essence of what Gina does. See, even though we're going to talk about earthly embodiment, we are going to also include the entire Lightworker foundational entities. So there are things that get created in the dreamland. There are things that get created in the esoteric. The question is going to be, what are we going to do with it? And showing up today, we talked about her yesterday, our tribute to Olivia Newton-John, mm-hmm. the conversation with Olivia about Gaia, the song that she had, right, Benny, on Grace and Gratitude we played. Now we're going to talk about the enormously dynamic resurrection of Lady Gaia energy. Right, Gina?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I wish I would have saw the Living Eaton John, but I'll catch that later.
Oh, I'll send it to you.
Yeah, send it to me. She's an amazing woman. Yeah, so that introduction was amazing. Yeah, the essence piece and earthly embodiment. And I think for me, the most important thing for listeners out there is those that are becoming more awake and having a heart opening, or whether or not you're recognizing it, that your life is being called in a different direction. Some people are being called to do what's referred to as star seeds and light work and things like that. I don't want people to get lost in those terms, because we do place a lot of terms on things, because all of us will have the ability to connect to deeper to the wisdom of the earth, Lady Gaia, and other allies, as I call them, to assist us in our inner transformation, to embody newer qualities that we are moving toward in life. And what we need, in my eyes, what I see people need are the foundational tools in order to work with their inner transformation. And it also assists in the ascension of the planet. And so for me, I know my biggest heart calling is not just my inner ascension, but how am I working with the planet and her ascension and Lady Gaia? How am I working with her energy to raise us all?
Great question, right? Because so let's just get at it for people, because what you just described is, I got to tell you, I don't know, like, how you know, like, in advance, like, what to talk about that's, like, hitting people smack dab, like, right there. It's like hitting us. And so I want you to really talk about this, because I want you to talk about Gaia, Gaia's relationship to Earth, what that means, that embodiment. And let's just be very clear for people. When we say physical body, yes, we are talking the body, but we're talking about physical,
mm-hmm.
like, stuff, physical stuff, right?
Yes,
that's an important part of the conversation to get this left out when we're talking about the power and relationship of Lady Gaia, isn't it?
Yes, it is. People often want to go higher, higher, higher and reach that peak. So if you look at it as if you're building a skyscraper, what's a skyscraper without a strong foundation, right? So our energetic system, just going into the energy for a minute, is no different. And it kind of ties into the as above and so below concept. So as in the universe or heavens above, we also have those same qualities in the physical earth and plane. This is why it's so important to connect to Lady Gaia, who can be considered the earth angel or elemental of the planet. She holds and embraces the planet with her love and her light and her nourishment for all creatures that live on it, including us. So this is where the more industrialized people have become, we have naturally pulled ourselves away from her connection, which also creates our pulling ourselves away from our own connection to ourselves and the elements within us. So the truth to me is one of the foundational pieces of doing light work, supporting your inner growth, bringing in those higher concepts and energies that want to come into the body, is you got to ground into earth. You got to ground into Lady Gaia, and she teaches you every single day how to do that. Yeah. And we just have to turn our eyes on, expand the perspective, and start communicating with her, even if it's just taking notice to a tree outside.
Yeah.
And mentally acknowledging it, verbally acknowledging it, physically touching it. When we physically touch it and actually have the communication, we open that doorway to our heart. We open that doorway to the heart connection of our Mother Earth that nourishes us every single day.
Yeah.
Single day.
Can I give you, I want to give you a real thing that popped up, because the entire show today, you're going to take us on this journey. But I want to really say to people that we're going to be talking about chakras. We're going to be talking about archangels. We're going to be talking about a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that I've come to know and now accept with Lady Gaia is Lady Gaia was really, it tough for me. And it was, why was she tough for somebody like me? Here's why. Most people said to me most of my life, you are from another planet. You live in a realm and your feet are never on the ground. See, this was a perception. But yet highly, highly successful in corporations, went from $61 a week in a mail room to an executive. So you can't be all in the cloud. However, my go-to is cloud living. So much so, I raved about the new Netflix series Sandman. Holy cow, right? But here's what I want to talk to you about, because this is so important in what you do. And I don't know where in the show you're going to hit this, but you are embedding the idea of trust. You have to trust. This is going to happen. Archangels are going to come. Gaia's going to come. But see, Gaia, for somebody like me, will give me a rude awakening, which may shake me up so that I could see how to get from where I am to where I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Here's the thing. Our technology is almost a breath away, but I made a major decision change. How many people do you think I really ticked off with that?
80-90%.
But here's why the change. It was Gaia. We always are going to be the transformation network. But we are, at this moment, I've been told, one of the largest live streaming positive talk TV type networks. And we don't have that anywhere in our branding. So on 8-8, I did the Gaia thing. And I got out there with the grass, and I think I stepped on something that just a rock or something out there. But here's what I want to say. Take us on this journey you're going to take us to, so that we can not just connect to the earthly embodiment, but that message from Gaia on 8-8,
mm-hmm.
Our network name is going to be the Transformation Network, but underneath it, you're going to see Transformation TV. You're going to see so many different things.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have not done that if I didn't get hit by a Gaia grenade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's a beautiful example, because we did just go through that 8-8 gateway and portal, and that is setting a huge, like the next phase of the world, the direction the world is going into, right? So part of this is letting go of our old structures, like we've talked about before in some past things. But when you're open to paying attention to the symbologies and the literal, like stepping on a rock and going, oh, shoot, what was that? Instead of going, I just stepped on a rock and passing by, you stopped and being like, oh, there's something I'm being told right here, right? And so What comes to mind as you spoke is evolution. Gaia is also in her evolution and ascension process, just like the souls are that live on her. The intimate connection that every single soul has with Lady Gaia is that we were invited to live here. Lady Gaia sent every soul living on this planet in any timeline an invitation to be here and do that work. And I just want to pause for a second. With an invitation, what do you have to do? You respond to some sort of RSVP. You either say yes or you say no. Or maybe.
Right. And you say it physically, emotionally, and spiritually, and they are not always aligned, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. They're not always aligned. I know in my walk, I've said yes to some things, being unsure, but my deeper calling in my heart, like that thing, that the claircognitive piece that opened up in me, because we all have clairs that will begin to open up, was stronger than the ego mind going, oh, I don't know, something's going to happen, but deeper in my heart was like, just go. So when your knowing or draw becomes bigger to experience something, you're operating in trust, right? So Lady Gaia, to remind you guys, she is there for us, always paving a way of peace for us, always surrounding with love and her protection and healing. She's very tapped into the divine feminine energy, which is coming to the surface within all of us. And it's a very emotional time, creative time, in that this is where you go into that kind of the unseen form, right, of energy. But how beautiful this is with her, she also holds in her, or the elements. And the elements, as we'll talk a little more about later, is what assists us in building form.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And let's just talk about this, because there is a connection between walking the ground, Lady Gaia, and ascension. And I want to go right to it. I want to hold off on the break for a little bit, because I want to really roll into what we're talking about. And that is, you know, here we are, and we are really basking in the embodiment of Lady Gaia. And yet at the same time, we have to be aware of what you're going to talk to us about. And that is the dynamic energy and possibility of ascension. And in order to do that, there are a few more things that we have to understand, especially about archangels, and especially about how do I go from that take my shoes off moment on 8-8, stepping on a rock that hurt my table tennis big toe, to realizing that that was a message that's going to get me to this next step, this ascension part.
So let me see if I understand your question clearly, because there's a lot in that. Like, how did you, the connection of ascension on the planet, and how does one go from a physical experience to putting that, basically you decoded the message for yourself. Right. Now, this is the unique part, because while every soul will go through their ascension journey, and everyone's on it, even those that are not awakened yet, that may be in a lower state of consciousness, we're always in the process of ascension. The message you get from your experience in nature is going to be different than the message I get. So this is where trusting your intuition to build that in, because we so often want to speak to others like, what's that mean? What does that mean, Gina? What's this? And I'm going to give you an answer like, I know what it means for me. But what's the first thing that come up for you as you stepped on that rock?
Yeah.
So this is bringing in the mental piece, the emotional piece, and the physical piece all together.
Yeah. I think where I was, and this is really now the next part of this, is where I was at that moment is it really stopped me and hit me at a place where I went to what we talked about earlier. I said, everybody has their own way. I said, what is the message you want me to get? Right? I'm talking to the energy of it.
Yeah.
Right? And that's where, you know, the conversation comes in on who are the archangels? You know, what do we do when we can understand how to talk to these archangels, to talk about some of the other symbols, to really talk about maybe Metatron or what Metatron represents, right?
Yeah.
Because some people will say what happened to me was a masculine energy to get me to really look at something else. But
right.
You have a very unique way of talking about how Lady Gaia relates to ascension and then what the archangel's role is mm-hmm. in awakening. Because basically, that was like an awakening moment there.
Yeah. And we will go through different levels of awakening. Some are big, some are small. It's really important not to pay attention to what big and small is because we can have the smallest thing change our whole life, okay? So as far as archangels are concerned, I view everything now as an ally to my soul ascension and awakening process. How can that ally support me learn qualities, right? So I'm not giving my power over to the archangel, but I'm calling in the archangel for mentorship, okay? That's very different because when you're in self-mastery, that's what we're also kind of talking about here, is you're coming into your own internal power and remembering how to manage your energy in the highest way possible. So Archangel Sandalphon is the archangel that works with the earth star chakra. And he has many, she's more the feminine aspect, so don't get caught up if I say he or she, okay? But he holds the feminine aspect that's also within us, okay? And when we start connecting to that earth star chakra and connecting to Archangel Sandalphon, that signals on a soul level, and we're connecting to that earth, on a soul level, our heart's beginning to wake up. We're reconnecting our heart energy to the earth, but also as above, right, as below and as above. And it signals that that soul is ready to step on a path of ascension. So you're moving away from the wheel of karma to the path of ascension. And then you start to perceive your whole journey through a different lens of everything's happening for you to head toward unity consciousness and then recognize you're part of the oneness of all things. He works with his divine complement, Archangel Metatron, who holds the masculine quality. Okay, so when you're talking about higher energy, he assists with the stellar gateway. That's the complement to the earth star chakra. So you start to see as above and so below. I always look at the heart as the bridge between the mystical and physical world. So if I were to fold it in half, they would line up as I'm waking up. You have to go just as deep into Mother Earth and her energy, draw it, because it's all the same energy, but you're drawing it in through your lower body. Because your lower body is how you navigate the physical plane. So we're learning how to navigate it through the heart and higher self. So all these things start to get activated and work together. And Archangel Metatron assists your stellar gateway and the ascension process for the planet. And he acts as a guardian to make sure only light beings come in. Because as we get more open and awake, our sensory ability to feel different vibrations and frequencies, there's also other frequencies that are not meant to be in our field and can cause disruption. And we need to be aware of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is part of the journey that not only you take, but this is what you help other people with and how to move through the energies of this and the activations of this.
Yes.
Because what I'm really struck by is, as I think about this and I think about, you know, what is actually available to us, I'm also struck by the fact that you also talk about the yin-yang effect. You know, to know when both of these are operating, one is operating, what do we need and what don't we?
Mm-hmm.
But there's one thing that I'd love for you to talk about, and that is a lot of conversation about prayers right now and messages to God. There's just a lot of conversation.
Yeah.
Aren't we in the realm here of that too?
Absolutely. Thank you for asking that. Yeah, when we pray and we incorporate Archangel Sandathon, he sends our messages. He sends our prayers to God, to Source. And when you're ready, those get answered. But it's a real invitation for you to trust the divine timing and let go of any way you think it might look like. And when you're ready, those prayers get answered, right? And it's important piece to, when you do it in trust and you're grounded in the energies of the planet and the universe, there's no worries. You must cast away doubt. So with that, there's other tools that can support you to when you're a negative pole is starting to go into doubt, that you bring yourself back to center, bring yourself back to the heart. And this is where breathing comes in. This is where the nature connection, coming back to Gaia, because she's there for us 24/7, and we take it for granted that we walk upon her every day.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, because this is what you also are guiding and teaching people, is now, I'm now aware of this. How do I go about it? How do I make this connection? And this is where I think people get hung up. And I watched a little bit of this on 8-8, right, where we mentioned 8-8, and people are like, but I don't know how to do it. I don't know what, right, like that. And, you know, if anything I've learned is there's not this rule book out there that says, you cannot talk to God, you cannot talk to angels unless it's Tuesday at 4 p.m. and you've showered and you're burning incense, right? But you see, what you're talking about is this idea that this is what we need to do and know. So what I want to do is I want to take a short break. When we come back, I want to help people walk with you on this journey that says, this is Gaia. This is what you will get from the Gaia energy. And these are all the ways that the Ascension portal is open to you. Gina Libido, everybody. Gina, what's your website? We're going to take a short break. But for
SoulInspiredReflections.com.
That's what we're talking about, everybody. If you want to call us, 1-800-930-2819. Benny, we're going to take a short break here. Everybody, we will be right back.
Are you ready to experience full body system wellness? Tune in to the Empower Me Show with Pam Bright, a spiritual toolbox for your life. Embrace the fullness of who you are as a spiritual being, having a human experience. Pam Bright is a multidimensional healer, light language channel, energy intuitive, and spiritual transformation coach. Join her for a rich conversation about how to unlock all your spiritual gifts on Transformation Talk Radio.
In body, in power, in soul. Activate the spirit within you in deep conversations of power, faith, grace, love, and forgiveness. On Soul Inspired Reflections, Ascension, a humble awakening of the heart. Join me, your host, Gina Libido, every second Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. And find that even the chaos of your world makes sense and has meaning and purpose. Make a choice, be inspired, take action. For more information, go to SoulInspired.org. That's Soul-Inspired.org.
It is time to get inspired to take action in your life. Tune in to Emotional Elevation with me, Susan Denae. We are identifying, understanding, and treating our crazy one episode at a time. We all have crazy in our lives. The thing that sets us apart is how we deal with it. And I've got you covered. Enjoy your journey. You are worth it. Visit SusanDenae.com. That's D-E-N-E-E.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Pat. I'm the host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I am the creator of the Transformation Network, doing what we do in the world of positive radio, informed, educated, positive media. Independent radio hosts and independent networks have been the face of positive messaging over the past decade. So all of us here have decided we're going to put together an independent network that is going to enable people to bring their positive message of hope, inspiration, and conscious action to the forefront. Help us create a future of amazing, uplifting stories that can be told so we can tell our children and they can tell their children of what hope and conscious action is all about. I want to thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about maximum medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Everybody, welcome back. For those of you, we're going to be doing something really cool here on the Transformation Network here, because we're getting so many emails from everybody, but I want to just send kudos to Benny and the team at KKNW, because I love that, you know, their live streaming allows you all to listen to what we talk about during the break. And one of the things that Gina and I were talking about is, you know, it's great to conceptualize about Gaia, about the Archangel, but how does it really work? That's where her coaching program comes in. Mm-hmm. And so what we're going to be talking about for the rest of the show is, how do you call in these energies? How do you bring in the connection to Earth and Gaia? But what is the impact? And Gina, let's let people know again how they can find out about you. But this isn't just a teaching and a lesson. You embody this in your coaching, right? And I'm going to give that example in a minute that I share with you during the break, because that is a perfect example of how you get a message, how everybody around you thinks you've lost it, and then a couple of days later you get clarity. But this is what you coach and help people with, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely, do. And this is what I want to remind people of, is that this is a life skill. My coaching, what I'm going to support you through, is not just like, okay, I'm just going to fix one problem in my life. This is building the tool set and adding to your tool belt as you evolve on a soul level in a physical body, as you walk this plane. Because the next 10 years, we're still, as a planet, going through a lot of deconstruction to pave the way for the new way of the world, the new way of living. So if you thought going through the last couple of years didn't wake you up enough or prepare you, consider starting to deepen your practices. So with that, how do we call in archangels? How do we call in Gaia? And it's actually quite easy. Because no longer are any of us have to seek spiritual guidance in the same way, or message, I'll say, that we used to, when we used to have to be funneled to the church, where there's a very limited resource of divine wisdom coming through, right? So we would go to our churches, right, a tribal council, or whatever that looked like. Now each of us are waking up going, oh, wait, that doesn't resonate for me. I'm feeling this. Right, so to recognize what you're feeling is number one, right? Number one, taking time, and I know I say this all the time, to go out in nature and connect, because that's how important it is.
Right.
That's how important it is. It's like a mom telling you, here's the thing my dad always used to tell me, when I left the house, and today I still do it because it was some of the deepest wisdom, and simple, right? It's simple. Be aware of your surroundings and take your jacket every single time. And I go, okay, God, you know, with the little smirkiness, but I still did it. To this day, that's how I walk out the door, not out of fear, okay? And that's really, this can be symbolic. I didn't go out the door out of fear. I went prepared for the unknown, right? So this, when you connect with Gaia, take your jacket, or whatever that is for you, your prayers, your light, your calling in, Archangel Sandathon, and Metatron to say, hey, guide me in my path today. You're taking time in your morning practice, raising up with the sun, connecting to the east. If you incorporate the medicine wheel, it's a new beginning. So just how you start your day, acknowledging the sunrise, that's the easiest thing you can do.
Yeah.
It's so simple, and we all make it so complicated.
Yeah.
Taking time with your glass of, like, I have a glass of water today. How many of you sit with your glass of water just as you're holding it or drinking it and just take a moment of prayer to thank every single thing that made this water possible or to nourish you? Think about that. Break it down. Where did the water come from? How was it even created? How did it get to me here in my kitchen counter, on my kitchen counter, and then the vessel that it's held in? And it may seem silly to some of you, but the more you begin to show gratitude for all the little things, and if I'm not aware of all the intricacies of how the trucking and distribution and all the other hands were involved to get this in my life, I just blanket it with,
yeah,
thank you, God, thank you, Gaia, thank you, Source, even for all the things I'm unaware of that made this glass of water possible for me today, and that it was healthy to drink, and that it was clean. It's just that simple. Acknowledge, prayer, and it's giving. Give to yourself. Give to others. If we're looking at Lady Gaia in the earth, and Pat, feel free to navigate me because sometimes you know.
You're absolutely right, because what you talk about, and this is part of what you work with others with, is, and this is what I think you say about it, correct me if I'm wrong,
mm-hmm,
it's the assisting the higher consciousness to come into the body,
yeah,
right? Because water is water, but if we just, it's like if I just took that rock that I stepped on the other day as, dang, new rock, stepped on you, if I just stopped there, I would not have taken the action I did.
Right.
But now, sometimes you can't explain to people because you don't have all the answers. But what you're about to talk about is this idea and this process, because mm-hmm, that would have either triggered a flight or fright response for me, right, mm-hmm, or something. If I didn't, first of all, if I wasn't aware of what you were going to talk about today, and I wasn't aware that that was not a mistake, that rock found me.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. It is, living and our experiences are no longer mistakes. That's an old way of thinking. It's a lower vibrational way of thinking until someone goes like, oh, wait, I'm a common denominator in my life. I'm connected with Earth, the symbols of it, the way, how does Earth communicate to us, right? They're going to put a rock in front of us. What do you do? If you're paying attention, you trip over it and fall, how do you respond to that, right?
Yeah.
That one says something. Do you laugh and go, oh, I just, you know, I just got put on my butt to sit here and think? Or do you,
yeah,
like, you believe it, and that just tells you where you're at. So when you look at how you respond versus react, it tells you where you're at within,
yeah,
your system.
All right. Well, take us on this now, because what happened with me is it didn't take me off my game. I came back in the house, and I did something what looked like so bizarre to everybody here.
Mm-hmm.
I came in and I told my programmers the following. We have been working on testing our new technology database, building these dummy websites. A lot of stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I came in and I looked at it and I saw, wow, there are too many updates. I didn't even ask permission. I went to Merrick and I went to Nick and I said, you need to wipe everything out. You need to just get rid of it. I need to start over from scratch. Don't even look at the channels that we were working on. Just go. Just, you want me, you sure? Right? No, just do it. Why? I don't know why. Just do it, please. Just,
yeah.
It wasn't until today that I got the wine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so important because this is what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
This is a bodily action. A rock, an action, technology, but what happened today that came from here? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it because I don't coach people. You do.
Yeah, and that's the most challenging piece to coach. And this is why I feel it's the most important piece to be in the breath of your body as you're opening your heart and being in the trust and stillness comes in. I know we've talked about that before too, but if you're too busy, you're running on high, even when your thoughts are coming in, what do you have to do, right? You got to pick one. Okay, boom, I got to do this first. You're going to bring it down into your body and put it into action, but you want to do it in a way when you're in the power of, you're anchoring that in, right? So you just described you made a choice. You got this jolting and then inspiration came in. That's through the mental body. That's through the spiritual body coming in through your crown chakra, okay? And then you choose if you're going to act on that, right? And this happens for everybody. And you don't have to, that's where your claircognizant comes in. You just knew. And you don't have the XYZ of it yet. It'll all unfold. So when you walk with Gaia and use that metaphor of like, I'm walking this path of light. I'm walking this path of trust and love, step higher into the frequency and giving of myself, because this is about not just me, the individual. It's turning it around. We're moving from being selfish to selfless. The more I give, right, because your example, Pat, is like I'm giving to the world through my transformation network. So that's where you're putting your energy, you're giving. And there's a lot of sacrifice, am I wrong, that comes with taking that role, right?
Absolutely. I mean, there is, and I rarely talk about it because that's not where I talk about. But my friends know, and they just have stopped asking.
Yeah.
But they could not understand, why am I spending this kind of money buying air? I mean, this is now their perspective, right?
Yeah.
Why are you doing that? You know, you've retired. You have multiple incomes. Why?
Right.
My answer, I used to try to explain it, but I got a different answer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm called to do this. Now, I don't make up the how. I get guidance on the how. I got new guidance this week on the how that I didn't expect.
I'm going to pause you right here.
Go ahead. Do it.
Looking at my notes and realizing, okay, this is how we're bringing in those higher.
Do it.
You start working with activating your Merkaba. Okay. This is our light body. This is what bridges our connection to light, even though it's already within us, right? And spirit to our physical body. So we're bridging that feminine energy below from the earth. Because it's basically, it can be referred to as a star tetrahedron. Okay, so it's two triangles. So you can look up tetrahedron or Merkaba, and it'll give you an image of it. So that way, those of you listening, you can go, oh, okay. Picture it's three-dimensional. It is around us. Every single person has one. This, when you start to work and activate your Merkaba, your heart is opening. That's a requirement to work with Merkaba. Your love is expanding. You have to have the earthly connection to anchor it. If you think about what's your conduit of light, okay, that's coming into your chakra system, if you looked at yourself as a wire, a large gauge wire of energy, if that wire is not grounded, what happens? It's dangerous. It frays. Okay, this is where some people, and I'm not saying don't use medications, but some people are diagnosed with bipolar disorder, things like that. However, oftentimes these things are misdiagnosed because people are having a higher vibrational connection and they're not understanding, they're not around the right people to help them understand, like, wait, you're connecting, let's ground it in. Your hearing guidance, your clairaudience is active. I went through this where I would hear voices clear as day. Like if I'm talking to Pat right now, I would feel the breath, the air against my ear. And I responded back. Two times I remember. The first time I was so tired and I felt this presence just in my ear and go, Gina, are you okay? That was it. And I said, yeah, I'm just really tired and I want good sleep. All of a sudden, I felt warmth all around me and I don't remember falling asleep. I just remember waking up totally rested, right? And then later on, a few years later, I was at a party and I was getting ready to leave. Same thing happened. It was like, oh, you're leaving already? And no one else was in the room. I just turned around and I just said to myself, well, I guess I'll stay a little bit longer. Because I didn't know what was outside the door. And I just trusted my little apprehension because it was off-putting. But I knew I wasn't crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is important because as you activate the Merkabah and go into higher vibrations and connect to higher frequencies, you're going to be attuned to different levels and begin your clairs will begin to open up. Whether you're clairaudient, meaning you can hear, clairvoyant, which the sight, like your third eye sight, even though we all have the third eye, can be activated. Your clairsentient, which is feeling, and claircognizant, which is this inner knowing. I tend to be primarily clairsentient and claircognizant. I just know. So even when I'm just talking, like I am now, all of a sudden it's a channel coming through, but it looks so organic. And that's why Pat, you've talked to me enough. You never hear me go, my guide said this, my guide said this.
Never. I never do.
No.
Never do. But that's why you are the perfect person to coach other people, right? Because, one, you get to cut to the chase. So here's what I mean. Now, I didn't have to go through loops to come in here and send 7 different Trello messages saying the same thing mm-hmm. over and over again. No matter what anybody said to me, what did you call it? A knowing.
Yes.
I didn't know, right. I didn't know the underpinnings of what was just revealed to me today. But what I now know is I needed to do that so I could have a blank sheet of paper in front of me to say, what are we really creating now?
Mm-hmm.
But I love this because a lot of folks need help to get there.
Exactly.
And I love that you get there quickly with people and can help them that quickly. Because I don't know about you, but most of the people that I'm looking at, I had a conversation with somebody yesterday who basically said to me, I need to get where I want to go now. I don't want to be 5 years talking about that. And my comment back to them was, then you have to promise me one thing. You are going to trust in the universe, God, or whatever you believe in. Because when you do that, doesn't the monkey mind stop?
All of that goes away, or it's really limited. Eventually, you won't even hear it anymore. And that is a really important piece because you're letting go of that aspect. You're moving away. It's a choice to experience duality. Okay, and some people may say, oh, no, you have to experience blah, blah, blah. How long you experience duality is up to you. I'm here saying we are part of the whole. We are part of oneness. We always have been. And now it's time to take these alchemy tools, primarily one of the largest alchemy tools you can use is the vibrant flame. okay, along with your Merkaba, which you can use to purify, you can use to cleanse, you can use it to do light travel. Like when you're in your dream state, you can travel in your Merkaba. It's protective. It brings in higher consciousness. Now, when you also bring in the violet flame, it's like a micro scrubber. It can cleanse you on a cellular level. You can purify karmic bonds, past life things. We're at a time now where we're releasing all these old contracts.
Yeah.
You don't have to fulfill that anymore. Done. Clear, cancel, delete. Just like Pat, your description, you're like, nope, I'm wiping it out. Clean slate. What am I moving toward now? Because if this is where some people want to over-identify with their experience. This is about detaching from them, keeping the wisdom. It doesn't mean these things didn't happen. How long do you want to keep talking about it that way? How long do you want to keep being the victim? This is about empowerment. To be in body, in your physical body, leads you to be in power of yourself. But to be in your power, you got to be, to fully embody these qualities, you have to learn what that means.
Yeah.
You have to experience that involution.
Yeah. Yeah. And aren't we talking about this? Because I want to bring this really back to why this is an important message. Because when we look at it, there are benefits to building this connection.
Absolutely.
See, there are benefits. There are benefits that I didn't realize until today, talking to you, what just happened. Because 9 out of 10 of us are not you, and yet 9 out of 10 of us want to work with somebody like you, because I do not know many people or many of these listeners of this show that say, I just want to stay miserable, Pat. I just want to stay stuck, right? So let's bring it full circle to, you know, here we are. There are benefits to building the connection to Earth, Gaia, Merkaba, right, Violet Flame. There are benefits. Today I see the benefit, but I could not. And now I can understand. And Jessica might be listening to this, and Linda and everybody. They're going to now, and Jacob, they're going to understand why the next 4 actions I take, they're going to understand why it, oh, of course, Pat, right?
Yeah. And this is where also those that you're leading or that are working with you have to trust the vision you're getting, right? And being like, you know what? They too, in that process, because this is impacting your team, right? Have to, because their mind's going. They're like, I don't know, she's crazy, whatever, right?
Jacob, you wouldn't say that, right, Benny?
So, like, you know what? Let's just do what she's asking of us, because we're supporting the bigger picture, right? So this is the macro and micro working together, right? You just got some universal download from a source, and that's in the macro. And you brought it down into the micro of your work.
Yeah.
And I can, like I said before, I can talk about these things all day. You can read about these things. We go, oh, okay. But until you are living it, you will not bridge the gap of what the benefits are. Like, it becomes visceral. I can tell you, the more you connect to the planet and the natural cycles of life and natural cycles of yourself, that you will feel more in flow and grounded and be able to navigate your life from a totally different perspective through the heart with more love and compassion. But if you're only talking about it and not putting it into action and be willing to stumble along the way, be willing to sacrifice your old ways that don't work anymore, because that will come up. It even comes up for me. Like, Pat can feel when I'm procrastinating because she hasn't heard from me. I feel overwhelmed. And empathically for me, I can feel it. Like, hey, where's Gina's stuff? Where's stuff on her website? Like, I can feel it. But when I start to feel overwhelmed, then I go into shutdown mode. And this is important for all of you to realize what, and then you have to bring it back in and pick one thing at a time. You got to break it down.
Yeah.
And what did I do this week? I got a few more things to Jessica to put up on my website, and I'm just going to keep breaking it down, because this program that is coming, it'll launch by spring So there's going to be some free things launching in the fall to prepare those who are ready for, I guess you can say, an attunement.
That's it. I'm kind of on the same timeline for you, and we should do a show on timing because we've got a couple of minutes left, but I love how you brought this back because you don't just talk about it. Can you share anything about what you're creating? Because, I knew you before you had the website. And so every time, people don't realize when I talk to them that something magical, mystical, and amazing happens. Things get accelerated. Is that what happened for you?
Absolutely, because I got that thing, and I want to, shift and keep moving and let go of all that old stuff. And it was like, what do I want to do?
Yeah. So tell us about what you're going to, can you tell us what September is going to bring or the fall? Yeah.
It'll officially launch in the spring as far as the first module. In the fall will be some pre-attunement things and a little more like even maybe smaller workshops. And then people can decide if they want to move forward into module one of the program.
Wow.
I'm calling it Becoming the Solar Logos. And because what a Solar Logos does, they train, and one of the most powerful tools they use is the violet flame, but you incorporate all the things I'm just talking about for the deconstruction of old patterns and ways to assist the planet.
Thank you.
So when you do that with yourself, and then you start to focus it on the planet, it's a really powerful purpose to have in life. And if you're lighting up to that, then you may already be one of those souls or stars.
I love it.
We'll be able to have that work. So stay tuned. Sign up for my website. That way,
get to your website. How do we get over there? And you're gonna give us updates, right?
I'll give you updates, but you got to sign up to be on my email list. So go to my website at soulinspiredreflections.com. Sign up. When you sign up to be on the email list, you will get a nice little video of the chakra clearing and teaching as a thank you.
Wow.
And if you check out some of my blogs, you're going to start to see a little more about the chakra system, and those are going to keep coming.
Thank you for listening to Soul Inspired Reflection, Ascension, a humble awakening of the heart, with me, your host, Gina Libido. Join me again every second Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to continue to activate the spirit within you and trust your inner guidance. Learn about what it means to embody and how you can exist in transcendent service to ascension of life, the planet, and the universe. For more information, go to soulinspired.org. That's soul-inspired.org.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KMUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Wednesday to you, Benny Mathers, here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update. For around the town, we have a collision on Highway 16 eastbound at milepost 12 near Wolichet Drive. The ramp is partially blocked. DOT crews and State Patrol have been dispatched to the scene to take care of that collision. Also, I-5 northbound near the off-ramp to Alborough Place, another collision partially blocking the ramp there. State Patrol has arrived on the scene and they are taking care of that situation. Stay tuned. Coming up next, after the news weather, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This time it's Recovery Recharged with Ellen Stewart, the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, and Recreational Recovery with special guest Richard Long. NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. There are signs inflation may be slowing down, but Republicans are still on the attack against the Biden administration. On Twitter, Arizona Congressman David Schweikert said the White House was bragging about inflation hitting 8.5%. Any American who buys groceries and gas can see right through this. Today marks 3 years since disgraced financier Jeffrey Epstein died in a New York City jail cell. Epstein was found dead at the Metropolitan Corrections Center while he was awaiting trial on federal sex trafficking charges. Authorities say the 66-year-old was alone in his cell and used a bedsheet to hang himself.
The U.S. Coast Guard is suspending its search for a missing man believed to have gone overboard from a cruise ship near Juneau, Alaska. The Coast Guard says the search began Monday night after it received word a 31-year-old man had possibly gone overboard from the Konigsam cruise ship in Gatineau Channel. Crews searched for over 10 hours before suspending the search. There's a new law in New York State that aims to make sure students are getting educated properly on the Holocaust. The Holocaust Education Bill will require audits of schools to ensure they're in compliance with Holocaust curriculum requirements.
We need to teach people when they're still young, because we cannot have these horrors repeated.
Governor Kathy Hochul signed the bill into law today. She also points out there's been hundreds of hate crimes against Jewish New Yorkers so far this year. Prosecutors and defense attorneys are presenting opening statements in the trial of two men accused of conspiring to kidnap Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer. It's the second trial for Adam Fox and Barry Croft Jr. The two are being retried after a jury couldn't reach a verdict against them in the first trial in April. 18 jurors were selected yesterday to hear the case, with six serving as alternates. One of the original anchors when Fox News launched in 1996 has died. Uma Pomarajou was one of the network's founding anchors and was on the air the day it started. One of her most notable interviews was one she did with the Dalai Lama. She won several Emmy Awards during her news career. Pomarajou was 64 years old. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Are you a psychic, sensitive, or seeker who wants to learn more? Are you a mystic on the path who wants to go further? Tune in to The Mystic School, where your host, author and spiritual teacher Sarah Wiseman will share with you all things mystic and metaphysical. Join us as we dive deep into the divine realms of psychic opening and spiritual awakening, and how you can live as an intuitive soul. Tuesdays at noon on KKNW or wherever you find podcasts.
And let's go ahead and take a look now at your alternative talk weather outlook for Wednesday. Well, we'll see a chance of light rain showers this morning along with some thunderstorms. But don't worry, they'll burn off this afternoon for mostly sunny skies and high temperatures hovering around 74, 75 degrees. Tonight, mostly clear skies, low temperatures back down to about 59, 60. For Thursday and for Friday, more sunshine expected. High temperatures up a few more degrees in the high 70s to low 80s in selected areas, with clear skies through the overnight, low temperatures in the upper 50s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
She's a pushy broad from the Bronx, New York. Follow her voice, it's great dark and night. She's a pushy broad from the Bronx, oh yeah. Don't be surprised if you want to listen twice. Make decisions, find the right choice. Know yourself better, find your own voice. It's okay, we need help today, cause everybody needs a little push. From the push it broad, from the Bronx, New York.
Welcome, Transformation Talk Radio listeners. My name is Ellen Stewart, and I am the pushy broad from the Bronx. Welcome to my show, Recovery Recharge, with my illustrious co-host, Dr. Pat. How you doing, Doc?
I am so excited about this show. You ever know when you need to have a conversation about something, right? And then, you know, I always prep for the show. So I was looking at this, and I was thinking, wow. Boy, are we going to really hit the nail on the proverbial Bronx pizza head. Absolutely. I mean, unbelievable. I really felt the need to do it, too. You know, especially it's the summer. It's summer romances. It's all this relationship stuff back and forth. And I don't know about you, but all of my recovery clients are in relationships, and they're either going well or they're not going so well. You know what I mean? I do know what you mean, but that's not me. But the part of it is understanding, and what are you calling it for today? Because, you know, today's show is about relational recovery, and we have a very special guest. Let us tell you about our guest, if we could, because when we talk about something, we need to bring in an expert. So we bring in thought leaders, we bring in people that are in the expert classification, and that's what we have today, Ellen, right?
Absolutely. I mean, we talk and we're experts in our field, but we want to bring in a particular expert on a particular topic. So today's episode is about relational recovery and why it's so important. And my guest is going to talk about it. He is a couples counselor by the name of Rick Long. And let me tell you a little bit about Rick, okay? Rick Long began a career in human services in 1975. He was working with troubled youth and families in the juvenile justice system. This led to a master's degree in social work and then training in addictions and family. So he really understands relational recovery. And then a little later in life, in 2012, he decided that wasn't enough, okay? So he would continue and get a master's in divinity. And then since then, he's been a consultant and a clinical director at a very prominent site in Tennessee called On-Site Workshops, which is nationally recognized. I know it extremely well. And he also has a private practice at home in Pendleton, Indiana. But what makes him not only an expert in things, but about families and relationships, he's happily married to his wife, Linda. He's got three children. He's got a rescue 8-year-old 90-pound Labrador retriever, which he calls Bear, by the way. And the most important thing that I want to know all about later on after the show is that he's the owner of a pre-loved, he calls it pre-loved, vinyl record store in his hometown. So we want to see what he's got to offer when it comes.
Yeah, and here's what we're going to do, because we're going to get fired up and we're going to roll right through to the half. We're going to take a short break right now. When we come back, I want everybody to think about this. Relational recovery, what is it? Do you know why it's important? And do you understand that when we're talking about couples, it's like Linda has taught me, timing is everything. Is that really true? Ellen. Let's take a short break. Benny, Jacob, everybody, promise we'll be right back.
From the pushy broad, from the Bronx, New York, that's it, I had it at home.
Are you passionate about impacting social change or working towards anti-racism as a society? Are you willing to deconstruct your innermost thoughts, ideas, and beliefs about racism? Then Inflection Point Podcast, Cultivating Change from the Inside Out, is the show for you. Join Anita Russell, Mavis Bauman, and Gail Hunter in open, honest, and deliberate conversations every first and third Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Does your life often feel like an emotional tsunami where rogue waves crash down on you, leaving you feeling hopeless and wondering if it will ever end? Do you wish to awaken the dormant strength inside of you? Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Start today by scheduling a complimentary consultation with Martinet. Dive into your healing journey and begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartinetEmmons.com and make your appointment today.
You have traits of ADD or ADHD? It can be hard to meet society's expectations of productivity when traditional approaches to time management and organization don't work for your unique brain. You need customized strategies. In the ADHD Self-Mastery Podcast with Bonnie Minku, you get concise, actionable solutions to help you modify your approach and achieve your goals. Learn more about Bonnie at thrivewithADD.com.
Hi, everyone. This is Courtney Citrell, host of Unapologetically Favorite on Transformation Talk Radio, here to give you some tips on how you can move your life forward if you're feeling stuck by using the GROW model. First, use the letter G to write down the goal that you ultimately want to achieve, whether it's working out 1 hour a day or working towards a promotion at work. Second, using the letter R, think realistically about the roadblock that is currently holding you back from accomplishing your goals. Third, use the letter O. Think about the options or opportunities that will help you in achieving your goal. What can you change in your daily routine that will help you move closer to achieving your goal? Fourth, use the letter W to discover your will and make a true commitment to achieving your goal by writing down a completion date. Once you reach your goal, celebrate your accomplishment. You are capable of achieving anything you set your mind to. Never give up and keep being unapologetically you.
Tune in to Maximum Resilience with me, Kelly Bazzani, your ally for addiction, the first Monday of each month at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join us and engage in this epic journey of how to own your power and change your perception of addiction while we revolutionize the approach that ensures mental health as we address a worldwide epidemic. Take the steps that lead you towards an incredible life of maximum resilience. We do recover. Visit MyResilienceCoach.com.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharge phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
I'm Mary Jane Mack, and I'm excited to tell you about the latest technology. It is new to this country, and it's just amazing. Daughter Germany. The Healy is state-of-the-art technology for improving and changing the body vibration. I have more information about the Healy on my website, MaryJaneMack.com, or you can call the office at 888-777-4232.
Tune into the Dr. Diane Show, where we explore revolutionary expansion of mind, body, and soul every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I bring over 20 years of expertise as a mindset warrior, perspective shifter, and unshakable optimist dedicated to helping you reach your wildest dreams in business, health, performance, and relationships. Join the discussion on the show. Learn more about me, Dr. Diane, and receive a free digital copy of my magazine at naturalnutmeg.com.
There isn't a magic pill to creating your healthy lifestyle, yet it doesn't have to be hard or feel impossible. Health works from the inside out, connecting both your body and your mind. Georgette LePage lives and breathes what she teaches, so allow her to be living proof of what can work for you. Connect with her now for a free 30-minute discovery session to see what results you are looking for and how she can help you get them. Visit GeorgetteLePage.com.
Are you struggling with truly being happy in life? Do you often question who you really are? I'm Tracy Lynn Wallace, a self-love mentor and life coach who can help you identify and access subconscious blocks to move you into a place of freedom, success, and happiness. Visit InspiredWisdomCoaching.com to sign up for my VIP list and get updates on my exclusive workshops so you can awaken your magic within. That's InspiredWisdomCoaching.com.
Tired of not losing the weight? You need a healthy solution for weight loss that protects your muscle mass as the fat burns away naturally. Holistic Medical Center has the healthy option for your weight loss concern. Lose 1 to 3 pounds per day in 21 days, naturally, under our physician supervision. Call Holistic Medical Center, 425-451-0404. Or on the web, drdarvish.com, drdarvish.com.
From the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, New York.
And that's me, Ellen Stewart, the Pushy Broad from the Bronx. And this cracks Dr. Pat up. I love it.
It does.
I'm on airing my theme song on Transformation Talk Network. It's usually on my podcast station. I love it. Thank you so much for doing it for me. I'm so glad to be here today with my good friend, Dr. Pat, and my very longtime old friend, Rick Long, who is a couples counselor and is going to talk to us about a topic that is extremely pertinent today, relational recovery. So first, Rick, welcome to my show, Recovery Recharged. How you doing?
Hi, Ellen. I'm doing well. Thank you. How about you?
We're doing great, thank you. Let's get right into it. Please tell us, what is relational recovery?
Well, I think the term is really something that just came together for me. I'm not sure that I've heard it before, but it's primarily just the idea that when we're in recovery from some kind of addiction or trauma, that relationships are key to that, and that we've oftentimes neglected the idea that our relationships are truly key to quality recovery. And so my focus has been since early 90s, actually, to work with couples and families about their relationships post-recovery from an addiction or during the course of their sobriety.
It's really an important thing, and it comes up with couples all the time, because people think just getting clean and sober is enough, right, Dr. Pat? That's it. They figured, all right, I'm not drinking, I'm good, right?
Yeah. And it's one of the greatest points of controversy when you're working with somebody new in sobriety, and you say to them, I don't know what you say, but I say to them, okay, like, I'd love to work with you, and here are a few things I'm going to ask of you. They're not many, but one of them is, do not enter a relationship at least for a year. And they're like, I'm finding a different sponsor. Okay, but there's a reason for that, and I think you guys are going to get underneath it. There's a reason for that. Look, in the famous Sandra Bullock 28 Days, you had to be able to not kill a plant, right? Take it away. Yeah.
Right, Rick, let alone have a relationship, right? So talk to us a little bit about why this is so important and why timing is so important to the whole thing.
Yeah. So for those who are not in a relationship, in terms of a coupleship or other type of intimate relationship, I agree 100% with the wisdom is still don't get into a relationship for a year. Try a plant, then a dog first, not a cat, because a cat is much more complicated. Then a cat, and then a human, which, as Dr. Pat mentions, a lot of people don't take that in very well. For those who are in a relationship, it's almost imperative that you pick up the ball of the relationship fairly quickly after you've gotten some clean time and early into a recovery program. I think that has been neglected many times for people to think that alcohol or drug recovery is enough and that a relationship will automatically be better because the problem was the drinking or the drug and it's gone, so why can't we just do this? And that's not been my experience.
So what kind of things do come up? I mean, sometimes people feel like they're doing two things at once. Talk to us about that.
Yeah. Well, it is two things at once, I think. It really is a combination. And in the past, at least I'm in recovery, have been almost 40 years now. So I remember back in the 80s when I got sober that they really talked about, you know, you have to prioritize your sobriety first, and that comes before anything else. And if you don't do that, then you're going to be you're not going to be sober for a long period of time. But well, that got translated into a kind of a selfish thing. Like if it's time for me to go to a meeting and the family's having a get together, and you know I got to go to a meeting. Well, the meeting comes first, and ultimately it was the either or piece that really bothered me. You really can do both, and the timing is really, in my opinion, once you're out of detox, you've already started to change. There's no sense in not trying to change things in the course of your recovery, either while you're in an inpatient recovery treatment center or an outpatient recovery center. I've worked in both settings with families in the process of the early stages of treatment and found a fairly good amount of success if people are willing to do some things.
What do you think, Dr. Pat? I know you work with a lot of clients as well. Mm-hmm. Do you find that there's a conflict there and that people don't know how to do two things at once, maintain sobriety and have a relationship at the same time? I think they don't understand the importance of either, and they don't understand the benefit of what we're talking about, and they certainly don't understand the complex and difficult nature of recovery by itself, and then expect whomever they are in a relationship to just get it, right? So, what?
You're absolutely right.
This is not even peeling the onion back, people. This is having, you know, a couple of rotten onions laying in the barrel that you didn't know about. And look, what we're talking about is getting people help on this. Now, I will tell you this. I know what it's like to do both. And I honestly think that if it wasn't for the people that I worked with in my first year or two, I wouldn't even be having this conversation with you both. And for them to point out to me, you are having that difficulty because you can't possibly do that fourth step, honestly. So this is complex. But how do we tell people the recovery journey is enough? It is multifaceted. It is multidimensional. And I honestly wish that in the halls of AA, and I'm just going to say it, so send me your email now, that they would have talked about Lois more. Because when you read about what Lois went through, hello. Just saying, Richard.
I hear you.
Okay. All right. So we're all on the same page here. And I want to focus on the person in recovery for a moment because that's really, really important, the addict experience in relational recovery. So let's talk about some of the things that are kicking up for us, right? When we were new in recovery, way back when, like 150 years ago, thank God. But nevertheless, because between us here, we have over 100 years in recovery, the three of us, okay? I mean, really, we have like 100 years in recovery. But how does a person who is new to recovery usually feel about what they've done in their relationship? I mean, what's going on here? Because I know when couples, when somebody comes out of treatment, and I do a lot of work with that, Rick, they're a mess. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the mind of a newly recovered person.
Well, I think it's a really good awareness to try to touch base with that part because that's oftentimes the block. I think shame, of course, is huge at that point. The shame of getting looking honestly at the destruction and the betrayal and all of the things that have gone on in that during that active addiction. There's defensiveness, of course. You know, there's that sense of, I didn't do it on purpose kind of a place, and there's certainly a part of that. And then there's just no relationship skills available to that, or very few that have been effective, let's put it that way. And so with no skill, a covered up sense of ownership of behavior and then a whole bunch of shame about it just leads the addict very much into a feeling like, I don't know what the heck to do. Maybe if I just don't avoid my family, it'll be okay. So avoidance becomes the strategy.
Yeah. Avoidance, isolation, right, Dr. Pat? Don't you find that with some of your clients?
Not only do I find it, but here's really the trick. Thing one is to explain to your family and people that are close to you what you are doing in recovery. Why am I saying that? I don't know about you guys, but the hardest thing for me was to tell family members that I would regularly drink with every 5 o'clock cocktail. No, thank you. Right? I mean, I'm just talking about one thing here. The family, no, thank you. Oh, just one. No, thank you. I'm really, okay. Oh, okay, but how about a little one? Thank you, right? No, thank you. Now, what's the difference? Alcohol is common. If you are a crack, cocaine, whatever you want to call it, you know, marijuana, your family doesn't know you're doing that pretty much anyway. So they're not going to say, okay, want an eight ball? They're not going to do that, right? So alcohol presents itself with social dilemmas, don't you think, both of you?
Rick, don't you find that as one of the biggest couples problems?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, you know, I find with my clients, too, and here's the thing, and I know there's a big debate about it, but the pushy broad has her stance, okay? I'm really firm on this, okay? Firm. If my client is new in recovery and he comes home or she comes home to a house full of liquor, I'm like, get it all out of the house, okay? I don't care if your spouse or your partner can socially drink. I don't care. Socially drink outside of the house with no wine or beer, which people don't think is alcohol these days, right? Unless it's vodka or scotch, they think, ah, it's only wine and beer. It's not a big deal, right? I know Dr. Pat's cracking up. I can see it, right? It's like, not a big deal. You make sure that the family of the people you're coming home to are completely alcohol-free. And one other thing, there's one other thing that I'm adamant about. Every single time there's a party, you know, in the summer, everybody parties, right? And your friends who care about you and love you turn around and say to you, we know you're new in recovery, so if you like, we'll make it an alcohol-free party. And the recovering addict turns around. You know what the recovering addict says? Oh, no, no, no. It's okay. I don't want to disrupt your life.
Right.
And my advice to every single client is you better darn well disrupt their life. If they are going to make it an alcohol-free party for you, you say, thank you very much.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what we're talking about is the addict experience in relation to recovery. And it really ties back in, you know, Rick, I want to just hit you up with this. Because first of all the ranges of emotion that one goes through, there's not enough time in this show to really get to it. But I think the message for everybody listening, yes, you're going to see people that you know that are taking the recovery journey. They are going to do some things which don't make sense to you. They're going to have emotions you have never seen before, and you're going to say, honey, you're stressed, just take a drink. No, don't do that. You're going to see anger show up, right? You're going to see words that can't come out because they can't take their emotions and express it to you. And that's why the three of us know that there are very, very few recovery places that include the family and the partner is in. What is this coming of age journey for you people about?
That's exactly right. You're hit the nail on the head, and that's why that's the kind of work that I do and the kind of work that Rick does. And this is why the addict sometimes feels that they're two people in one body. Right, Rick?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's very, very black and white at that moment, and it takes a while for that thinking to shift, to be able to see the gray areas between things. So it does feel that way. There's two people in here. Sometimes in our work with couples, we even talk about Ed 1 and Ed 2 and identify the Ed 1 as the addict and Ed 2 is the guy you married, or Sally 1 and Sally 2. Sally 1's the addict and Sally 2's the one you married. And you want a relationship with Sally 2, you don't want a relationship with Sally 1.
That's so right on. I usually say to my clients, oh, you went in Sally 1, but you came out Sally 2.0 because you've upgraded yourself, all right? You've learned something new. And the other thing that is really important, and I know you do this with your clients all the time, when we're in recovery, there is a language that we learn, right? We speak a certain language. We speak 12-step recovery, or we speak smart recovery, or, you know, we speak a language that is very different for everybody else to hear. So it's like the family has to learn a brand new language, right, Rick?
Exactly. So important to see if family members will buy into their own 12-step recovery. Just for that very reason, to have a language that they can share. Those that do, I have found, really make the most progress in couples therapy.
Because everybody's on the same page, right, Dr. Pat? Did your family members support you in that way? Did they go Al-Anon or not?
Oh, 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 Okay, so let's just, so let me just give you the short version. I was so estranged from my family, period, because let's just talk about the reality of what happens when one enters down the path of I am so out of control, right? Now, I will say that there was a period in time that I attempted to really repair my relationship with my sister, and I did that. But honestly with you two, it wasn't until I made that commitment that I could bring my stepmom in my life, that I could bring my sister in my life. Now, here's what I want to say to everybody, and I don't know how Ellen and Rick are going to explain it. For me, that was in 1990. What I didn't know or couldn't anticipate is that my stepmom would die shortly thereafter and my sister within the next 3 years. But I will tell you this. I do not go to bed at night saying, I wish I would have repaired the damage with my stepmom. I did. I flew her in to come to New Jersey. She sat at Linda's mom's dining room table with all of us. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I don't know how we talk about that when we come back from break, but you see, we need to say that there is so much more goodness in this than the pain that you need to go through to get there.
Exactly. Repairing the guilt. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about what the family and how the family gets involved and what they go through in the process.
I'll let you two talk about that.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Let's take another break.
Let's take a short break. When we come back, we are not going to be taking any more breaks because both Richard and Ellen, this is what they do. This is how they help people. There is an amazing light. And I am sorry, I'm a broken record. I read the 9-step promises the other day on a show. I was told to memorize them in my first week in sobriety with a male sponsor because I actually pretended I was like a guy. That's a hard another story, shaved my head, the whole thing. But he looked at me and he said, I don't even want you to read the book. I need you to memorize these. When we come back, is not a one-size-fits-all, and you are not all one size. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back.
From the pushy bra from the Bronx to York, that's it, I had made it at home.
Are you hungry for answers? Gain clarity on what is currently happening in your life. Reveal how your past is influencing your life experience. When you find the answers you are most hungry for in your life, you will gain inner peace and outer abundance. Contact Robin Clare to create an achievable plan for your ultimate success at clarity.com. That's clarity.com.
Tune in to Spacious Unknowing Network, Communing with Your Soul, with Julio Rose and JoJo Rose, every Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Let your heart beat in the rhythm of your soul and guide you to new horizons and unlimited, infinite love.
Are both your life and mission passing you by? Are you wanting to step into the bigger reason why you're here? I'm Claudia Sam, your soul connection coach and host of the Be Happy Now show. It's possible to feel good to be you and to never burn out again. Hop on a free 20-minute clarity call with me to explore what life could be like if you could just say yes to yourself without the guilt. Go to ClaudiaSamSoulCoaching.com/yes.
From the pushy bra from the Bronx, New York, that's it, I had made it at home.
Welcome back, Transformation Talk Radio listeners. I'm Ellen Stewart, This is my show, Recovery Recharge, and I'm with my good friend and colleague, Dr. Pat. We're talking to an expert on relational recovery, Rick Long. I want you to know that you can get all kinds of help and information from both of us if you go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and call my 800 number, 800-889-1757. I will connect you with Rick because Rick does a private practice in Indiana. If you're in Indiana, you can take advantage of Rick, and you'll call my number, and I will give you all of his pertinent information. And you can also book some time with me because I'm still doing some free sessions, okay? So let's get back to this really important topic of relational recovery. And in addition to, I was just telling Dr. Pat and Rick on the break about how I really struggled in early recovery, and I really had a terrible time with so much anger. I really didn't give a damn about anything I did in the past, and I was really upset about being where I was. And if it wasn't for my family participating and going to meetings and understanding my language and working with really good sponsors, I had a male and a female sponsor, I don't think I ever would have changed. And I think I spent 20 years not really understanding what recovery was until I started working in the industry. And one of the people I met was this wonderful man, Rick, who has helped so many people in his life. So let's move on to the family and how important they are. Let's talk about what
can we tell people how to get to Rick and to get to you all's website?
Yes. So Rick actually has contact information for his business. Rick, why don't you give out that number for your business?
Absolutely. So feel free to call 765 area code 810-3020. My office is actually in my home now, but we can start with a phone call. And if you need to send an email, it's RL Long, so it's two L's. RLLONG 1953@gmail.com.
Perfect. Very, very good. Let's talk about the dysfunctional family, Rick, and codependence and all of that stuff. What happens on the family side?
Well, it thankfully, we had some pioneer work done in the late 70s by Sharon Wegscheider Cruz and Virginia Satir. Virginia Satir had done some transformational work with families, and then Sharon Kitt brought that into the realm of addictions. And she taught us about how families, once there's an addiction, there's a change in the constellation of the family, wherein the primary partner, if it's the husband that's the alcoholic, the wife or partner, becomes co-opted into a very toxic system and cannot actually show up for the other family members, including, quite honestly, the children. So then children begin to take on roles that prop the family system up or divert the attention of the anger and hurt and dysfunction of the family onto themselves rather than onto the alcoholic. And so these are roles that got defined by Sharon back in the late 70s, the oldest child, oftentimes known as the family hero, who steps in, really gives up their personal life to take care of everybody else. Kind of another, when we talk about codependency, that's another kind of a definition of it. The second child oftentimes becomes the scapegoat child, the child who does bring all the attention onto themselves and acts out quite a bit. If there's a third child, there's oftentimes a quieter child that's called the lost child. And in all of those purposes of all of those roles is to numb the pain out for the person playing the role and to prop the family system up so that it still looks okay from the outside.
It's really a very in-depth analysis of what goes on. And I
perfect.
And I, Yes, absolutely. And understanding that the work that we do is centered around this family disease. And Rick, you have really, you know, detailed it for us, because every single member of the family is affected. There is no question. So how do we begin to move towards a healthy relationship? Let's talk about that. Rick?
Okay. It's oftentimes the best way is to always include the partner in any part of treatment, including the assessment phase. When I do an assessment, I ask them to bring their partners right from the get-go. The sooner the better, because this is not just an individual disease. It is a relational disease of addiction. And we begin to lay the relationship format down right there. Oftentimes, of course, we get more information from the partner that comes in for the assessment to be accurate. So right from the get-go, if there's a place in the treatment center or process, and there should be, for couples and or families to come together, that's something that absolutely needs to start as soon as possible. Thankfully, some treatment centers still do that I refer to.
Yeah.
But a lot have gone away by the wayside. My first job actually in addictions was at Sierra Tucson as a family therapist.
There are still some wonderful places in the country that I also refer to that spend time, and even pre-COVID, they were on the treatment center facility site, spending a week in treatment with a family counselor and also in tandem with the person in recovery. I find that I have many meetings with family members while I'm working with somebody new in recovery, but it is so far-reaching, and it must continue, because even though they have a small amount of family work in the treatment center, it really has to continue with people like you and I.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Dr. Pat?
I'll tell you what I think about it. I was part of a program called the Coming of Age Program at the Center for Spiritual Living. Monica Sicard, indigenous Lakota tribe, really was the backbone of it. We discovered after the first year of taking these young people through 9 months of ritual, building sweat lodges, the whole thing, vision questing on their own. We watched what happened in the disconnect between how these children grew and how their parents didn't. That was the last year ever, and what was built was a parallel path, and it was conditional. If your child is going to do this, you must show up in the adult arena. It's no different than what we're talking about. It's really no different. And here's the dilemma I want to drop back on both of you. I don't know what you think about this, but to put the burden on the person that is in recovery to try to take every personality in their lives, all the people, over and over and over and over again, and explain every aspect of their behavior, what their commitment is, why they can't sit down at dinner because they've got to go to an online meeting. See, isn't that an unrealistic thing to ask them to do, or am I off?
Rick, what do you think?
I don't know that it's unrealistic. I just know that it doesn't, for the family member, there has to be a space for them to be able to share what it's like if they have to continue to do some heavy lifting for the beginning. So if the alcoholic is explaining all of these things, but it sounds like it's shifting the responsibility for other parts of life back over to the spouse is tired, as you well know, and they're like, you know, when do I get a chance? It's always been about them,
right?
You know, and that's a very common question and frustration, I think, for family members, particularly spouses.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And there's one other thing I want to talk to both of you about. The other thing that I find when people come back from treatment is that family members are all of a sudden walking on eggshells. okay? Especially when a young person comes back, all right? Because a young person has a relationship with their parents don't want to do anything different, they don't want to say anything different, God forbid things will explode, right? So how do you deal, Rick, with family members that feel like they have to tread lightly when the addict comes home from treatment?
Well, I do talk to them, and you're absolutely right. That's a very common experience, especially with parents, about what they're trying to do by walking on eggshells is create soft landings, which is exactly what created some of the problems for the addict before they got sober. Soft landing is not what we need as a recovering addict. That doesn't mean you beat them over the head, obviously. But, you know, I oftentimes will say walking on eggshells is kind of like trying to be a higher power. You're trying to figure out your addict's needs without really knowing. And so you're trying to be a higher power in many ways here. And that becomes an opportunity to then talk to them about, you know, what is a higher power and what that means to them as a recovering family member if they choose that.
You're absolutely right. And also coinciding with that, and I'm sure, Pat, you see this all the time, coinciding with that are people that are on the other side waiting for these addicts to come home and thinking, okay, now they went to treatment, they're cured, they're fixed, it's all better, everything's fine, and we can go back to normal. Right, Dr. Pat?
Yeah, I think that what you just did is you nailed where it starts to really come apart. And it really does get back to what Rick was talking about earlier and what he does and what you do, Ellen. You know, there is an intervention for the family that is required. And it's kind of old school. I was told it was old school. But whenever there is someone that comes to you and wants to work with you that has a spouse or a close member, I don't know what you all do, but I have the family meeting, right? And most people that I've talked to recently, they're like, what's the family meeting? And so I think some of us have learned, I'm afraid it's like many things. It gets lost. Or there's like this strange translation of what should you do, what you shouldn't do as a sponsor. Do you see what I'm saying? But we have got to bring the people in the loop that are in the loop.
That's exactly right. And Rick, and I want you to comment on this. How many people come to you that you work with early recovering addicts and you have a family meeting and the family has no idea how much therapy they need? They all think it's about the person in recovery, right? I sit down with the family and I say, okay, so now we're going to work on you. And they're like, what? We don't need any help. We're fine. It's him, right? Or her. Rick, do you get that too? Ah, okay. Well, we lost him for a moment there. But
well,
I get that all the time. What? How about you,
Rick? I'm going to jump in. How could we not get it? So let's try a different question. Let's try the question that we want people to think about. How could we not include people that have been affected by or impacted? How could I? Now, I want to put a caveat on this, but please let me just tell you what it is. You must do this with the help and the mentorship of your sponsor or Ellen, your coach, because timing is everything. It really is. I mean, I don't know about you, Ellen, but how many people have stepped into recovery and they want to tell the whole world? They're telling everybody. They're like, you know, I didn't tell any of my friends till I could talk about it in a way that they could hear it. But this is also to give people tools on how now they can communicate about their journey and when to communicate. Because here's the thing. Your close people, they are not looking to how well you're going to talk about yourself. They know you can talk. And they know that most of what has come out of your mouth for as long as they've known you is probably not something you can trust. They're looking for behavior, right?
You're right. You're absolutely right. And I'll tell you, I see clients that turn around and they get really upset if the whole world knows, okay? So I am, listen, I am from the school that I think it's really good you're telling the world you're in recovery. I think that holds a certain amount of accountability, okay? Because if I tell the world, like when I told the world I stopped smoking cigarettes, then the whole world was kind of on my case, like there's no way she's going to pick up a cigarette because I'm looking at her, you know, I'm looking at her. And I think it's a really good thing. And I also think it's a really good thing that there are many role models today, okay? Even through their struggles, like, you know, all the people that have come out openly, all the stars that we all know very well that have come out very openly in recovery, I think that is a wonderful thing. And it's a lot better than keeping a secret. What do you think, Dr. Pat?
I think that I follow the Marty Mann model of how I conduct myself. And Marty Mann was a revolutionary, and she was a, I'm telling you, she didn't follow the books. She didn't follow what the guys were saying. Marty says, we need to get on TV. We need to talk about this. And Marty pulled away, started her own organization, which is one of the top organizations today, and got on television of What's My Line, where they had to guess which one of the three people are alcoholics. That was Marty Mann.
Oh, my God. Did they do that?
Yeah, she did it.
Oh, my God.
She did it. Marty did it. They put her on that TV show where you got the three people and you had to guess which one of the three was the alcoholic or the addict or whatever.
Wow.
And, of course, they didn't guess her. But she did more to spread the word than anybody could do because everybody was afraid to talk about it. Now, I will say this. Back then, absolutely, there was a lot to be afraid of. Now, we have got to stop the bleeding. There are more undiagnosed, uncounted people suffering now, right now, after COVID, than ever reported.
Exactly, than ever reported. And since people are going to the doctors all the time and they're testing and they're doing all kinds of things are coming to light that have never been there before. And not only that, but it's coming in a whole new way because that whole idea of vaping and THC and then all of that stuff is coming to light that has never come there before. And now the work that I do with adolescents and with young adults more than ever is it's okay to smoke a little bit, and it's okay to do this, and the states are coming up with everybody, you know, having a legalized situation, which really does not help the addict at all, right, Dr. Pat? Doesn't help.
Well, I'm one of these people. I'm a little bit on the fence, and I'll tell you where I come. I come from the fact that if you have just one state in the United States that legalizes something, and you have the rest that are incarcerating people, where I am is that is just not justice. So I am of the nature, if you're going to legalize it for the sake of these people, please let everybody out of jail, right?
Yes.
Because
yes.
We know jail is not the remedy for a marijuana charge.
No, it's not treatment.
Right.
There's no question. Legalization is one thing, but an addict is an addict. And if you're going to overdo it.
Right. And then there's another part, Ellen, and we'll save this for another show, right? Because the bottom line is, for some of this, we are entering a world where we put everybody in the same box. And I have to tell you, I can't tell you how many meetings I've had in the past 3 years with people that wanted people to restart their date because they were using a THC hemp topical product for a serious, serious pain. And I have to tell you, you have to search your soul very deeply as somebody that's got as many years of recovery as the three of us sitting here. And you really have to look at what should one do? Do you really say to somebody, reset your 20-year date because you went and got some topical something, but you did not sign up with a high-powered pain pill? See, this is now the new dilemma, people.
You're absolutely right.
Okay.
And I'm going to bring someone on in a couple of weeks, and we're going to blow that wide open, okay? Absolutely.
But isn't that true? It's because, Richard, right, for you too,
see, these are the nuances that we're not talking about with families, right? And a family says, oh, my God, I saw my son's like topical, what is it called, Dragon Ball for his pain, and I got a call to sponsor. And I'm like, oh.
Exactly, or even the CBT oil and all that stuff.
Oh.
So, Rick, so what's happening in that arena? Well, and because we only have about 4 minutes left,
mm-hmm.
I want you to talk a little bit more about how families can move towards healing.
Okay, let me check. Can you hear me okay?
Perfectly.
Oh, good. Thank you. I'm so sorry. Yeah, I think that if families do get involved in these kind of what I call the weeds of recovery, and oftentimes it's just too much for them to be on top of the attic with all kinds of that. So trying to give them a sense of boundaries early on and to really be more active in this early sessions, not just a therapist who reflects back, but I tend to be more hands-on, intervention-oriented. So I'm teaching them fairly quickly about boundaries, about how to stay out of certain places, letting sponsors be sponsors and not being the sponsor's sponsor, you know, and doing work around that is very helpful in the beginning. And the other piece of that, I think, for family members is to realize they, if they can be heard in their deepest hurt, in their deepest fear, I see them relax so much because they're finally being able to share their experience and feel like they're not the one that's always having to defer to their addict. That's been a lovely part for me to stay involved. I love to see that turning of the corner when the family member takes that deep breath and says, you know what, I get to speak too, but I don't have to be in the weeds to speak.
Quite literally. So now that we're almost done, I want you to leave a really positive message with our listeners. What would you say to couples that are first beginning to rebuild their relationship? Just some key words to leave us with.
Absolutely. Well, it's a very important time, and I can promise couples, and oftentimes we'll say this, and I use my own relationship with my wife, as a part of that is that you have no idea what great connection and what greater intimacy you can experience in recovery with each other. You've really never experienced the kind of trust building and the kind of ability to relax and be with each other until you've gotten this. And so this opportunity that blew the doors off of everything may be the one thing that really will bring you back to a place or create for you for the very first time a powerful experience of intimacy.
Fantastic, Rick. Thank you so much. What do you think, Dr. Pat? Finish us off here.
I absolutely think that. And I would like to say to everybody that's listening, whether you're in recovery or not, please really think about the question that I learned. I don't know what I don't know. And if you enter the game like that, whether you're in recovery, you are the addict, and you know, we're using this label, you are the addict, but the three of us have very different perspectives about how we use that label. We're using it for the purpose of this show. The bottom line is you are an amazing human being. You happen to have an addiction. You happen to be in recovery. But if you enter the game of I don't know what I don't know, and so do the people close to you, then the world of possibilities opens.
You're absolutely right. Patience and tolerance and openness, and that gets us through. Thank you so much, both of you. It's been a great show.
Yeah. Hey, Rick, one more time, give out that phone number, would you? And Ellen, please give out your website. Let everybody know how they get a hold of you. Go ahead, Rick.
Okay. 765, area code 810-3020.
Terrific, Rick. PushyBroadFromTheBronx.com. People, go take a look. 800-889-1757. I am here for you. This is Ellen Stewart, the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, saying thanks for listening. And remember, everybody needs a little push.
From the Pushy Broad from the Bronx to York.